Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for today is one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. Elijah was the first prophet to the people of Israel. He was sent to King Ahab and his wife Jezebel because they were not following God's word. They were following the prophets or the Baals, and their prophets were making that situation worse. And so Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to a contest of sorts. He says, we'll build two altars. One altar will be dedicated to Baals, and the other altar will be dedicated to the real God. And we will see which God answers our prayers. And so a altar is built, and Elijah says to the prophets of Baal, you guys go first. And so they put a sacrifice on this altar, and they begin calling for God to bring fire down to consume this offering. And nothing happens. And they complain louder, they pray louder, they cut themselves, they beat themselves. Nothing. And Elijah kids them a little bit. He says, well, perhaps your God is taking a nap and you need to cry out to him louder. And they do, and nothing happens. And then Elijah says, well, perhaps he's gone to the bathroom. Maybe you just need to cry a little bit louder and he will hear you. And of course, nothing happens. And still nothing happens all day long. And then Elijah says, okay, it's my turn. He builds the altar. He puts sticks out there. He puts wood out there. He puts the sacrifice there. And then he does something that surprised the people. He said, put on a barrel of water. And they do, and now there's water running all around this altar, and they put some more water on. Three times they put water on this altar, and then Elijah calls for God to bring down fire, and God does, and that altar is consumed completely. Jezebel is not too happy with that. And Elijah says, okay, folks, you saw this happen. You know who the true God is. Put all these prophets to death, and they do. And now Jezebel is really unhappy. But then Elijah does something that just doesn't seem to make sense. Perhaps because he is a human being like you and I. He takes off and runs to the desert because he's afraid. This same man who restored the widow's son to life, this man who called fire down from heaven and saw God answer that prayer, this man who we'd expect to have great faith and confidence, having seen all of that, he takes off and runs to the desert, and he hides in a cave. It seems like he feels defeated. And God says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah replies, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant and thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I am the only one left. I've worked really hard, and I haven't succeeded. I've failed. And now they want to kill me too. It almost sounds like Elijah is whining and complaining. So God says to him, well, go out to the mouth of the cave. I'm going to walk by. Interestingly, Elijah doesn't do that. But there is the sound of wind at the mouth of the cave. And there's an earthquake at the mouth of the cave. And there's a fire at the mouth of the cave. And the text says God was not in any of those three things. But then comes a slow, quiet whisper. And in that slow and quiet whisper, God says again, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah has the same response. I've been working hard, and it hasn't worked. And now they want to kill me, and I'm afraid. And God says to Elijah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and anoint these guys, and I want you to appoint a new prophet to take your place. I want you to do all those things. And Elijah goes and does those things. Well, that's an interesting story. What might we take from that story for us today? It occurred to me as I thought about this text that it was only after the earthquake and the fire and the wind that God finally taught in that still, quiet voice. It was as if he was saying, now that I have your attention, hear what I have to say. Listen to my instructions. Here's what I want you to do. Perhaps that's the reason why there are earthquakes and winds and storms in our lives, because God is trying to get our attention. But like Elijah, we tend to offer excuses. I can't do that, Lord. I'm too old. I just don't know how to do that, God. I can't do that. It's too hard, God. You've got to send somebody else. I'm too old, I'm too tired, you fill in the blank. Everyone else has failed, so how could I possibly succeed? And too often we don't do what Elijah didn't do either. He didn't ask for God's help. He didn't seek God's advice or counsel. He didn't spend time in prayer. He just gave up. In fact, one night when he lay down to sleep when he was running in the desert, he says to God, just take my life. I'm ready to die. I'm not any good. Take my life. And God does not do that. So I ask you, are you listening for that still, small voice? Or are you listening for that Cecil B. DeMille voice that we hear in the movies, where the one that booms out throughout the whole theater, that booming voice that deafens your ears? That's the voice you're waiting for. Then you may be waiting for hearing that voice until that day when the trumpet sounds. And so you might ask, well, what are we supposed to do? Let me offer some suggestions from the epistle lesson for today. Paul tells us to live by the Spirit. Well, how do we do that? Let me suggest that there are five ways that we might consider living by the Spirit. Number one, acknowledge that we are helpless to do good apart from the work of that Holy Spirit that is within us. Let me say that again. We are helpless to do that good work without the Holy Spirit being within us. In Romans, Paul says, I know that in me dwells no good thing. We cannot do anything pleasing to God without that constant help of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we can pray. Now, I know you hear that all the time, but it's true. There's a movie out called The War Room. It's about a woman who has a house for sale. She's a military wife, and she heard her husband speaking throughout his career about going to the war room to determine what should be done. And so when potential buyers come to her house, they find a closet. And in that closet is nothing more than sticky notes on the wall and a pillow on the floor. And they say, and what do you use this room for? And she says, this is my war room. This is where I come every day to pray and talk to God. It was the room that she went to hear that still, small voice. It was in the silence of that room that she talked to God and asked and prayed and listened. We need to pray as we live by the Spirit. And number three, we need to trust. We must believe that with God's grace, sin will no longer become the dominant feature in our lives. It does not mean that we will no longer sin. Paul points out that there is a war going on inside of each of us. And we hear that in the lesson for today. He says, one side of us is our human nature that wants us to do all of those things that he listed. But on the other side is that spirit that God has placed in us. And those two entities are at war within us. And when we live by that spirit that is within us, Then we see love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We need to trust. And number four, we need to act. Now you'll notice that this is number four on the list and not number one, because it's only after we have acknowledged our helplessness without God, it's only after we have prayed that we be enabled to do that, it's only after we have placed our trust in His mercy and forgiveness that we can begin to work out our salvation by living in the Holy Spirit. We need to take some action. And finally, we need to give thanks. Finally, we need to live in the Spirit, because when we give thanks to God for all of our blessings, it is then we realize how much He does for us. And giving thanks includes those things that we don't necessarily like in our lives. It means giving thanks for those earthquakes, for those winds, for those fires, for those storms in our lives. It's hard to give thanks for those things. If you can't list 100 things for which you are thankful, then you don't realize how much God does for you every day. So when we live by that Spirit, then let us also walk by that Spirit. Let us acknowledge that we are unable to please God without that Spirit's constant help. Let us pray that for every day, we are there asking for His help. Let us trust confidently in the power and the promise of that Holy Spirit. Let us strive to do what we know is right. And let us give thanks every day. And having done all this with Paul, we can say, it is not I who does this, but the Spirit of Christ that is within me. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.